Welcome back to another episode on Aligned with Purpose in Life and Leadership. And today I have the honor of speaking with Natalie Spaeth. She is a transformation coach who helps people transform into the limitless beings that they are to create a life of freedom from the externals that keep us stuck, living a life that just doesn't feel good. She is host of the Mind Body Freedom podcast, where you learn to cultivate the tools so you can go out into the world and be the change that we all desperately want to see. Natalie also coaches for a highly renowned team led by Rob Dial, host of the Mindset Mentor podcast. She's a mama, a wife, and a true inspiration. Also a dear friend, one of the only podcast guests I've had on here who I've had the honor of connecting with in person. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Oh my God, you might make me cry. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you. I am honored to be here, Mama. So honored. Oh, such a beautiful bio. Thank you.
Oh, I can't wait for this conversation. And we were talking about this briefly backstage there for a minute, but my last guest, Matt Sweetwood, prior to exiting the show, gave me a question for you to kick things off. And that is, how badly do you feel like you want success in your life?
Ooh, that's a great question. Oh, how badly do I want success in my life? You know, the funny thing is the first thought I have is what is even success? You know, because to me, success could be having a beautiful conversation with my husband over a cup of coffee on a Saturday morning, talking about things that might've triggered us the night before, and being able to cultivate and alchemize any negative lower vibrational energy. But for me, when I look at success, I base success off of how I'm showing up and how I'm feeling. You know, a lot of people think of success as, you know, climbing mountains, making loads of money, having the nice cars, having the nice house. And yeah, I mean, that's amazing if that's what success looks like to you. But for me, success looks like, how am I energetically showing up and serving from a place of love and spirit? And how am I continuing to transpire all of my own layers and constructs that come in? And so that's how I like to define my success. And if I am loving and doing that, I'm doing that every day, all day, 24/7, 375, as long as I'm staying consciously aware of who I am and how I'm showing up in the world. So I would say I'm always grinding towards that ladder. But if I were to look at, you know, financial success and the, you know, external things that I may have desire or a vision for my life, I would say, you know, I'm working every day. And as long as I'm bringing value and seeing and helping somebody and serving somebody from a place of authenticity, I'm feeling like every day is successful. So,
Oof. Oh, and I love how I feel a majority of people, like the people that we know in our lives outside of maybe this community or this space that we've created as coaches, look at success for what kind of car do I drive? What kind of house do I live in? These external measures of success. So I just love how well-rounded this is and how you're actively showing up and doing this in your life. And that really leads me to another question. As we're on Aligned with Purpose podcast, I've seen how you show up in the community and how you truly bring this fire. And I just see you lit up with your purpose every day. So what does that mean for you, being aligned with your purpose?
Absolutely. Everything. And the reason why is, like, it's all because I've had to mold and push and unlayer and get radically open and honest with who I am. I would not be where I am today or be the coach that I am or the person that I show up with every day with that fire, with that passion, if I'm not showing up in the moments when nobody's watching. In the moments, every second of every day, when I don't have, you know, a call with a client or a conversation or a meeting, or I have to be at my gym or whatever it may be, how am I being when nobody else is watching? And for me, it's constantly, whether I'm in a meditation, whether I'm reading a book, whether I'm researching another topic on how to completely optimize the mind and body, like whatever it may be, But I know first and foremost that I have to practice that before I feel aligned and authentic to go out and preach it. And if I'm not doing that every single day, if I'm not waking up every single day at 4 a.m., which I know some people think that's nuts, but I've been doing it for so long now, I swear to God, it's the best thing ever. If I'm not waking up at the same time every day and I'm going in and I'm meditating, I'm journaling, I'm getting radically honest. Where was I triggered yesterday? Did I come from a place of love in this conversation? Maybe yesterday I ended up getting irritated because, God forbid, somebody sent me some email or something that might have tripped my trigger. How did I handle that? Was I an open, present mom when my kiddo was home from daycare? Did I shut down the work? Did I turn my phone down? Did I leave the TV off so I could stay present with my son and with my husband? And there are many times where I can be open and transparent where no, because as a business owner, as you know, my love, it's can be 24/7, 365 if you allow it to be. So I know, like, hey, in these areas, where did I not show up at my best? Where was I living in a lower vibration? Where was I not holding on to good energy? And that's where I sit in my morning practice every single day, including the weekends. And that's the piece, is being consistent and being willing to practice what I'm going to go out and preach is what drives me to bring that fire towards my purpose every single day.
Mm. So incredibly beautiful. And I know you speak often about the mirror. Being a reflection back to your internal struggles and what you're going through. So you kind of touched on that based on, like, in the morning, you really reflect back on the previous day to see, hey, where was I triggered in the world that I'm showing up in? So feel free.
Yeah.
I would love to just go deep, take that wherever you want to take it.
Yes. Yes. Sounds good. So your reality is your mirror of how you are being in the world. So ultimately, everything that we see around us, the way in which we perceive the world, is a direct reflection of who and how we are being. So if you're in maybe you're living in a space of feeling scarcity right now, you know, we went through COVID, we've had, you know, some kind of craziness going on, we've got some massive inflation happening right now, and you feel like your life is kind of spinning out of control and you don't really feel rooted or grounded. Well, if you're looking at your life from that lens, then that's going to show up of how you're feeling inside. So if you're feeling that way, like scarcity, out of control, confused, maybe even a little depressed, maybe sad, maybe frustrated, whatever it is, if you're feeling that way, that's going to show up in everything that you do. So how do we go inward? How do we cultivate and how do we, you know, alchemize that energy or that way of which we are being? And it starts with becoming radically honest with yourself. And that's usually where people have the hardest time, because the ego is going to take the path of least resistance. The ego is going to try to keep you in basically what I consider safety mode. Like, oh, this is safe and comfortable, so we can continue to wake up, rush through our morning, get in our car, drive to a job that we probably don't love, get home at 5, pick the kids up, cook the dinner, watch the news, and go to bed. That's comfortable, because the ego is only there to keep you safe. It's to keep you, the mind is, and what we can talk ego or we can talk mind, same, but different. At the end of the day, we always feel like we can't do the thing that scares us or do the thing that's a little uncomfortable, because we think the world externally is a problem. We think everything outside of us, we look at as problems. Mm-hmm. Well, if we can start to eradicate the story in which we're viewing the world from a problem, from a space of scarcity, from a lower vibration, and we say, at the end of the day, is the fact that this snarky email that I got yesterday really a problem? Is it really going to affect the way in which I feel about myself, about my business, about the moment in time? And if I'm feeling triggered, if I'm feeling anger, my heart starts to race, I get a little fire in my belly, maybe my throat starts to ball up, then I know that it's not the email that's triggering me. There's something deeper inside of me where I am not free. Mm-hmm. And why did I attract that email to come into my inbox in the first place? Where am I lacking? What vibration was I putting out that day? Oh, that's interesting. If I were to take a mental calculation of how I was being that day, I didn't feel very good. I wasn't in the right headspace. I was irritated. Things were starting to set me off. I was tired. Oh, okay. Well, now that starts to make sense, as my external reality is a mirror of how I am internally feeling. So I know at the end of the day that yes, life is going to happen. There's going to be some things that happen that are out of your control, 100%, but it's how you respond and how you take action, or you can either take action towards it or you can react towards it, because reaction is just retaking the same action, keeping you stuck in the same pattern and story, and usually living the life that you don't really necessarily want to live. So our mirror is the best way to see why and how and who are we being today. And radical responsibility is one thing that this world desperately needs, because it's easy to point the finger and say, oh, you know, my husband XYZ, or my son was throwing a tantrum, or oh, that person that sent me an email is just an, you know, an a-hole. Oh, that person over there is blah, blah, blah. And we basically just give our power away. Well, that's really interesting. I just gave all of my power away by blaming every single person for my own victimized, responsible self. So if I can radically be honest and take a look inward and say, okay, it's not that. It's actually something deeper. Maybe it's because I am not showing up at 100% at something that I may or may not be doing at my gym. Maybe I'm not showing up at 100% and now I just got seen through that email, and that's what triggered on the inside. Wow, what a beautiful gift to go inward and figure out where is that coming from and what's the story that's created behind that. And how can I alchemize that into my being? So the next time I get that kind of an email, I realize it's not me. It doesn't have to create that fear, and it doesn't have to create that trigger anymore.
I knew we were going to be safe when I was like, just take it. Just take it.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So many things came up, but I've been on the other side of that, where I was the one blaming the external. And so I know when you have this understanding that, okay, it's a mirror, it's reflection inside of what you're truly experiencing, where you need to truly dissect and dive deeper within yourself. But to someone who's still feeling that way and in that position, it could be hard. Like maybe the mirror is dirty. Like it is so clouded, they can't see their reflection back. Maybe they're so used to placing that blame on others or feeling like the world is out to get them. What would you say to that person who is really struggling to turn that flashlight around, so to speak, and really see what's going on inside?
Beautiful question. And the first thing is cultivate awareness. That's all you can start to do. It's not about, you're never, and this is again, another issue with the beautiful instant gratification world that we live in, is that everybody, you know, might buy the next book or the next podcast or the next this or the next that and think, oh, if I do this one thing, I'm just going to be radical. I'm going to be healed and my life is going to be amazing. So now if you're sitting in a state of, you know, scarcity where it's like, woe is me, life is happening to me, I ask you, how does it feel to take responsibility for that? And if that triggers you, which it does for most people, it triggers them to be like, well, it's not my fault. Because again, that's just the fear. That's the feared child. It's the scared child who was not seen or heard or validated, or maybe had some experience happen to them that is playing on repeat in the adult now. And so what I like to do is I first just say, you never get your first thought, but you always get your second. So if you can start to cultivate a little bit of awareness, just say, hey, for 10 minutes, I'm just going to sit and breathe in silence. When was the last time you stayed silent with yourself and just watched your thoughts? Now, when we say watched, what does that mean? It means just pay attention to the way in which you're thinking. And so all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I got to go to work at 9 o'clock, and oh, Sally in the office is XYZ. Oh, and my kiddo isn't doing the greatest in school. And oh, my husband's irritated right now, and da da da, all these different thoughts. And then you can stop yourself and you can say, wow, isn't that interesting? Wonder where that comes from. And if you can start to do that, and this is how I started, you guys, 2.5 years ago, 10 minutes a day. Shit, not even 10 minutes. I think it was like 7 minutes on an app, like literally, where it was like, I just downloaded an app that guided me through being able to witness how I was thinking. And that's the first thing you have to do, is to cultivate the awareness. Now, more so over time, it's going to be difficult, because being responsible for how your external reality is, it's not easy. It's really not easy, but either is living a life of scarcity. Mm-hmm. So it's either, you know, we get told all the time by our coach, you know, choose your hard. It's either hard now or hard later, those types of things. But I believe, does it even have to be hard now? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm working on cultivating, is that it doesn't have to be as difficult as the world makes it out to be. Now, there isn't going to be any quick fix. There isn't going to be any one thing that you can do and then all of a sudden it's rainbows and butterflies, okay? But what you can do is you can start to practice, and it's just a muscle. It's aware, creating conscious awareness when you've been living in a very low vibrational consciousness, thinking that, you know, oh, I'm meant to be born. I'm meant to go to school from ages 5 to 18. I'm meant to go to college. I'm meant to get married. I'm meant to buy the house. I'm meant to have the kid. And then I'm meant to just live and die. And if that doesn't feel right to you, like it did for me, even though I played in that construct, I played in that story, then you get to start to ask yourself one beautiful question I always tell everybody is, when you get to the point of asking, who am I? You automatically are opening a door into spirit. You're opening a door into healing. You're opening a door into being able to cultivate true freedom. True freedom to be able to have, do, say, and be whoever, whatever it is that you want within this world.
I love that question. Who am I? Mm-hmm. Now, if we were to rewind, like even past this 2.5 years, It sounds like you've been truly, truly working on yourself, because now we see who you are. So you're letting it out. You're like a channel, right? So, but when the first time you asked that question, maybe it was 2.5 years ago, maybe it was before that, what did that answer look like compared to what it is today?
Oh, that's a great question, Jamie. I love that. Who am I? Who am I 3 years ago? I literally remember being postpartum, on the bathroom floor, having a massive breakdown, wondering why I'm so unhappy. And that was one of the main times in my life that I remember being like, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And it wasn't necessarily coming from a place of like massive, like, I don't want to be here anymore. It was more of absolute curiosity of, what is life? What is life? What is my mission? What am I here to do? Why am I here now? What is the point of all of this? And that led me on a trajectory of like a radical explosion. And I don't know how else to say it, but it was this massive, like, is Jesus real? Do I follow the Bible? I come from a Christian background, but I kind of went to church, but I don't go to church. Is Buddha real? I don't know. Do I go and sit in a Tibetan mountain and just meditate all day? Is, you know, the Quran real? Do I need, you know, like, what is this? You know, why are we where we are today, was the second question I would ask after I would ask, who am I? Because I had to look at my external reality. I had to look at, you know, the external world. Okay. And see, like, time out. How did we get here? How are we here today? We're still fighting wars. Women are still so self-conscious of their bodies. Men still live painfully in their ego. We're so unbelievably divided. There's a lot of hatred and shit going on that I felt at the time that I couldn't control. Now I feel like I can. But all these things that were going on in the world, and it just didn't make sense to me. And the reason from that is, I mean, if we kind of flash back into me as a child, I would always ask why. When somebody told me I had to do something, especially in school, why? Why can't I figure out another way? And they would never be able to give me an answer. It was always like, because I said so, or because this is in the curriculum, or because the people on the board of the state would be the ones that would say that this is what people need to learn. I'm like, you're telling me I need to learn Y equals MX plus B to be able to do my taxes? I don't get it. You're telling me that I need to learn about all of these like insane grammarized things because I'm going to go to hair school I think I'm okay. Like, it just, none of the curriculum in school didn't make sense to me. The reason why I had to be sitting at a desk 8 hours a day with three different teachers didn't make sense to me. But what makes sense to me now, which this is going to be kind of a fun one, is my energy. Energy, period, is what makes sense to me. And I started to realize that at the end of the day, if I were to put my body underneath a microscope, I'm 99.9% vacuum space. And that I'm just a tiny little bit of matter, and that I'm just energy. And that energy is going to show up, what I'm energetically feeling on the inside is going to show the way in which I look on the outside, on my body. And then understand that moving forward from that, I'm going to be able to play and mold and create and co-create, not create, but co-create with whatever energy is in my presence at that time. I mean, obviously you and I right now, we're exchanging energy. You know, when you get in front of somebody who's this, you know, powerhouse, who's like always, you know, in that high vibration, who just is really there for growth and just really uplifting. I mean, let's be honest, we've all been there where we've been in a room where we maybe not don't know everybody. And then all of a sudden somebody walks in and you're like, who is that person? Like, what do they have? It's not because of the way they look. It's not because of what they're wearing. It's because of the way they're holding themselves and their energy. And that to me is like, wow, actually, at the end of the day, I am a limitless, powerful being having a human experience, literally living in a third dimensional illusionary world that I get to completely be in control of. So what do I want to create today so that my reality tomorrow can be that much better?
Oof, wow. I love this conversation. Oh, this is so beautiful. This is so beautiful. And I'm so thankful that you were able to ask yourself this question and truly just embody this energetic being who you truly are, mm-hmm. and continue to be as you grow and just shift on this journey. It's beautiful. But I feel so often on this journey, people allow society who they think they should be for others to prevent them from truly, I mean, maybe they'd ask themselves that question, but be like, yeah, well, I'm going to be a marine biologist because I know my mom would want me to be. Mm-hmm. So that question becomes like tainted by the reality that they've been exposed to since they were little. So how do you let go of those constructs of society to truly embrace who you really are?
One layer at a time. So again, you know, the thing about it is, yes, we're definitely programmed and conditioned. And I just, like, full transparency, you guys, I grew up in a tiny little small town, went to school, had two brothers that went to college. I was the black sheep of the family. So I was the only, actually, funny story, I am the only person on my entire dad's side of the family, and I think I got like 20, 25 cousins on that side, who didn't go to a four-year college. So I lived in the paradigm. I lived in the construct of, this is what you do. And now it's funny, because when I look at the state of our world, it looks like it's on fire, because everybody is doing what they think they should, and I put that in quotations for the people listening on podcasts, should be doing. And my biggest thing is, why are you shoulding all over yourself? There's nothing you have to do in this world. See, we put, and we have these layers, and there's loads of them. Because some people, you might not wake up until you're 40. You might not wake up until you're 60. Luckily, I have a feeling that a lot more people are starting to wake up a lot earlier now and realizing, wait a minute, this doesn't feel like the path that I am intended to be on. And then you get the choice. But in childhood, we're told, and that we'll bring it back to the parenting and the layering, we're told when to eat, when to take a bath, what to do, how to do it. Now, do I believe that? Yes, children thrive in some structure and thrive in routine from certain ages. Of course they do. You guys, I have a three-year-old at home. Let me tell you, like, there's some times where you're like, holy buckets, we didn't get a nap, and it is showing. We totally should have taken a nap on that day. Okay. But when he's 5 years old and he's wanting to color. We'll just say he wants to be more creative. He's into arts or something, rather than learning, you know, numbers or flashcards. Who am I to tell him that he has to do this math thing? Otherwise, he's not going to be successful in his corporate job that he despises. What if he comes to me and says, "Mom, I'm actually really interested in T-ball, but you and Dad have me in hockey because you love hockey, but I actually would prefer to be in T-ball. But now myself, my conditioned program self would be like, no, our family is in hockey. This is what our family does. So we're going to be in hockey. We're not going to be in T-ball. Well, what does that do? That strips that poor child of wanting to do something that he loves. So then now he's going to go into realizing moving forward in life, ooh, if I love it, it's probably not a good thing. He might live with that construct at 5 years old. And then he's wondering why he can't love himself, because in the eyes of our children, we are their gods. Our parents are our gods. They feed us, they clothe us, they bathe us, they give us life. And so if we have parents who are, we'll just say, fully conditioned into the paradigm, the illusion, they're going to continue to push these children on this path of codependency, to be quite honest. I mean, at the end of the day, we all have codependency within us, but we all are like ridiculously codependent. We can't think for ourselves, because when we have an idea or a thought, how many of us, raise your hands if you're driving, be safe. How many of us, when you have something new or creative or something you want to do, you have to go ask somebody if it's okay to do that? I mean, think about it. We don't know how to think for ourselves because we're taught that things are only one way. And we're going to be living in a mirror from our parents. And when you can wake up to that, then you get to start to see and have fun with it. And you're like, wow, that's really interesting. I'm waking up right now with maybe a rapid heart rate, or I'm waking up with anxiety. Oh, that's interesting. I used to have anxiety as a kid because when my mom would come home, I never knew if she was going to fly off the handle from her OCD or if she was going to be happy and dancing around the kitchen, which put me as a child in the state of alertness at all times, because I never knew, even if I felt like I was doing something right, it could have been perceived as being bad or wrong. So that is why, and I'd honestly, now I'm to the point where I don't remember the question, but I'm like, I remember unlayering, but I told you we're going to rip and I'll forget the question. Did I answer that?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Beautiful.
Wow. Yeah. So it was like, Now I forget the question because I was going to restate it for you, but no, you answered it so beautifully. And so if someone looks back now and they're like, wow, yeah, my parents kind of fucked me up a little bit, but then they're starting to have this awareness. I know what happens next, right? They want to go try to fix everybody that they know, but they're not ready yet. They don't understand. And so they'll get a lot of heat back. Mm-hmm. How do you handle that situation?
Yeah. So that's actually also a wound, the fixer wound, the I need to fix everybody wound. Okay. So that's another layer. Isn't that fun? That one was triggering when I learned about that one. So we get into this, like all of a sudden we start, you know, taking care of ourselves. Maybe we read Atomic Habits or we listen to, you know, Rob's podcast or whatever. Okay. We're doing the things. Now we're moving our body and we're feeling good. We're up leveling our energy. We're raising our own vibration. And now let's say we have like a friend or a spouse at home. Who is it? Okay. And all of a sudden it's like, but wait a minute, I can make you happier. Like if you just do the things I'm doing, well, now you're trying to save or fix this person. Nobody's broken. You are not broken. They are not broken. And when you go out into the world and you try to pull somebody into your ecosystem and tell them that they have to do the things you're doing, that's just another response of trauma. Mm-hmm. Okay. So ultimately, when people, and nobody's going to be able to heal if they're getting forced to try to heal, it has to come from within. Mm-hmm. And every single person is different. Some people need to have a massive breakdown to have a breakthrough. And so, and other people might be able to just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm ready to make a change. But when you go out and you try to pull people into you and tell people what they should or should not do, going back into quit shouldn't all over yourself, not quit shouldn't all over the world, like what they shouldn't have to do. When you realize that, when you are a fully, and I'm just, again, transparency here. I don't believe anybody is ever going to be fully healed until they take the long dirt nap. So ultimately it's always going to be something like working on yourself. Growing is going to be a constant thing that you're doing, whether you're aware of it or not, you're always transforming. So when you have the awareness, you get to play with it and you get to create your reality the way you want to. But if you don't, then life happens to you rather than for you. So when I look at somebody, and I went through this last year, I was that person wanting to fix my husband. Like, hey, if you do this, it's going to make you happier. Hey, if you do that, you might, you know, feel more energy. If you do X, Y, Z, all the things. And guess what? It just delayed him getting into his own practice. So I knew that I was having I was having a trigger or trauma within realizing that now I'm going to be the savior. Now I have to save everybody. Okay. And when you come from a place of feeling the need to save everybody, maybe in your childhood, you were the one taking care of your alcoholic parent who never made dinner at night. So you had to take care of them. So now you're the savior. And realizing that you can also go into that. You can heal and integrate it into you. It's not about fixing or letting go of anything. It's about integrating it into who you are, because all of the experiences in the past make who you are today. They either control you and you're blind and unconscious to how it's showing up, or you get to play with them. You get to pick on those pieces of them. Oh yeah, I remember that when I'm in a room and I'm leading a seminar, I can absolutely be upstage spewing the gospel and being awesome and giving out all of this amazing information. But when I'm at home, am I going back into an old pattern of feeling like I need to fix somebody and then not taking care of myself and my needs and putting everybody else first? I mean, you could pair it with people pleasing and molding myself to try to save everybody because I wasn't able to save the two people I love the most, which were my parents. I mean, there's always a story attached to that. So again, with the questions, I might have answered it, might have not.
Oh, I love it. And it's, you just said it, everything has a story. Everything is connected. But using that mirror to really be able to see that reflection back, it sounds like is ultimately the key. It's a lot of self-reflection. And if you were to provide a tool, right? Pretty sure this is the tool we use all the time, but I've got to ask you on the show. So if someone's like, okay, I'm ready. I want this mirror. I want to be able to see what's holding me back in my life and how I can truly ask myself, who am I? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to find this? To work through this?
Yeah, 100%. A coach. 100% would be getting a coach. Somebody that can help hold your hand to the fire and to show you and to help guide you into seeing where you are not free, to create accountability, to create a safe space with somebody who is not your brother, your sister, your mom, your spouse, your partner, whatever, that you can trust, that will be able to guide you to the answer that already lies within you. Mm. Now, a coach for me, again, I hired my first coach at the beginning of, where are we at? I feel like years are running to 2021. It's like, where's my first coach? At the beginning of 2021. And I've had a coach ever since. Okay. And so ultimately even though I am a coach, I will always have a coach because I know that there sometimes are things that I can't see within myself that I have somebody saying, girl, have you looked over here lately? And it's like, oh God, yeah. The place I've been trying to block out for the last 15, 20, 30, 40 years. Yeah. Let's unlock that box because let's alchemize that into who I am because maybe it'll help me in, you know, having fear of asking my boss for a raise or something. You know what I mean? It all plays into every layer of your life. And so I know that having a coach has radically helped me shape into the woman that I am today. And I will be completely candid. Can you do this on your own? You can try. You can absolutely try. But I promise you, if you want to have that healing, you want to have that freedom, you want to have that body, that mindset, that spirit, that job, that relationship, what that house, that car, whatever it is, you name it, hiring yourself a coach is going to get you there 4 times faster than trying to do it on your own.
Mm. I completely, completely agree. And I feel like then the next question would be, well, how do I find the coach that's right for me?
That's a beautiful question too. I mean, they're everywhere. They're all over social media. I'll give you that. But it's ultimately getting super in tuned. And I always say, get a pen and paper out and write out what is that you're looking for. Because you could go onto Instagram, you can go onto Facebook, you can go onto websites, you can type coach in Google. I highly don't recommend doing that, but you can do any of that and you'll be able to find one. I mean, at the end of the day, though, I believe that universally, if you come across somebody, it's not an accident.
Yeah.
If you come across this podcast, it's not an accident. Mm-hmm. You're meant to see it because everything being connected, there's no such thing as a coincidence. Everything is a synchronicity. There's a reason in which you're listening to this right now at this time. It is meant for you. It is a sign for you. Maybe there's a golden nugget in here in which you're like, wow, that really opened my eyes to XYZ. Now, when you're on Instagram and all of a sudden somebody's, you might see a reel or you might see a post or a story or something, or somebody might share something from somebody. And you see that and you're like, God, I wonder who that person is. And you start, you know, going on their page, and we all have done it where you start stalking the heck out of their profile. And you're like, wow, this person really knows what they're doing. That's not a coincidence. Mm-hmm. That's the universe speaking to you that maybe this is the person for you. Because mm-hmm. that's how I found my coach. My newest recent coach. I have two of them. I have my team that I work for now that I also am a part of. And then I have my own spiritual coach. She's a maturation coach who's worked directly with some world renowned trauma specialists like Gabor Mate, because that's what I know I love to do. So I just want to continue to be a student forever. But when you look and you understand that everything is a gift and that everything is a sign, and you start to cultivate the awareness, that coach will be there for you. My husband found my first coach by looking up a podcast. And then he said, hey, babe, this podcast is really good. You should start listening to it. And I was like, oh, interesting. Okay. And then he was like, oh, hey, babe, you haven't listened to that podcast yet. Because sometimes when people tell me what I need to do, I'll tell you, I'll do it when I'm ready. And then he said, he's got a free Facebook group. You should check it out. I'm like, okay, I'll do a free Facebook group. That sounds cool. Let me check that out. And then hook, line, and sinkered, I was like, hey, oh, I like this guy. I need this guy. This guy could help me. Got on a call, bing, bang, boom. A year and a half later, I'm still with him.
No, I have to say something because that's exactly how I got into this world too. Steve found the podcast. Steve was like, you've got to listen to this. We were listening to it like every single day on our nightly walks on Maui. And I got into the community. Like, that's crazy.
Look at that magic. Look at that magic. I got goosebumps. That's what I talk about when I talk about magic right there. That is not a coincidence. Whoa. That is a synchronicity. That is connected. How cool is that? That lights me up inside. Yes, queen. Yes. Okay. That's how I found Rob. And then how I found my second coach was literally, I was just scrolling on Instagram and I read like a quote, which led me into like this woman's page. And I was like, who is this chick? Like, she's really interesting. I started following her and then I just sent her an Instagram DM. Like, I wonder. And she literally was like the dream woman that I wanted to work with. And when I got on a call with her last November, I couldn't afford her. I could not afford her, but I knew in my heart of hearts, I'm like, I am meant to work with you and I will figure it out. And there will be a day. I promise you that. Flash forward 2-3 months later, she reaches back out to me and says, I am called to work with you. And I got her coaching for a fourth of what it costed. previously in November, because I trusted and surrendered and knew at the end of the day I was meant to work with her. And here we are, a couple months in.
Wow. See, that gave me full body goosebumps, because you just know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Truly. Mm.
I have goosebumps too.
I'm just so thankful.
I love you so much, Mama. This is amazing. But that's what I want people to understand, is that there is a magical world that you have access to at any point in time. And it is first inside yourself. And then you're going to start to see all of these interesting synchronicities happen, these different little connections. And if you want to live in the illusion of the societal constructing belief of like, oh, what a coincidence, fine by you. But I will tell you, the other side of realizing that that is the magic, it makes your day that much more fun and that much more miraculous. And then you can start to have that attracting power, like talking about manifestation and those types of things, to be able to design exactly what it is that you desire. And usually when you get that gift, it's 10 times better than you could have even imagined. Mm-hmm. And that's why I know that this is possible. And if I can do this for one person, it's the ripple effect, because our world will change. Mm-hmm. The more that we can be in our being of who we truly are.
Mm, so true. Now, I'm sure whoever's been hanging out with us would love to be able to connect you with you on social media. So how can they find you? And then what's your podcast again?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at I am Natalie Spaeth. I do have a free Facebook group called The Warrior Co. That's Warrior Co. period. And then I do have a new podcast called the Mind Body Freedom Podcast, where I just go live. That drops every Wednesday morning. So those are the three areas you can find me.
Beautiful, beautiful. And are you feeling called to share a book that had a transformative impact on your life?
Yes, I would say. Yeah, there's two of them. I'm going to share two of them, because one of them is going to be very intense, and I don't necessarily share it with everybody. But at the end of the day, if you are looking at that question of who am I, this book really blew my entire mind open. It's called Conversations with God. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that one is absolutely epic. And then the other one, if you want to get more on the science realm of all of what we're talking about, I know we didn't go too deep in the weeds on the science behind everything. There is a book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself.
I'm reading that right now.
Are you really? Stop. Magic.
Oh, wow. And honestly, it's so timely, because I remember I was sending you voice messages and I'm like, I'm just like being a manifestation queen. I don't know what's happening, but just everything's unfolding as it should. And then I always like, I have this massive book list. There's like 50 books on it. And I always just allow myself to be drawn to a title. Like, I don't have them in a specific order. And that one just kept popping out and popping out. It's actually highlighted and then also bolded. And it was in like a bigger font. So I was like, okay, clearly that's the one I'm supposed to read next. And I couldn't agree more. I haven't read the other book, but this one, I mean, it really allows you to understand like the quantum energy field and how to truly, I don't want to say like manipulate your reality, but create your reality. And mm-hmm. Oh, it's powerful. That's had me thinking real deep. So I second that. I would highly recommend.
Yeah, that one is going to help, like for all of our kind of left brain thinkers, our black and white logical listeners, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself is going to show you the science behind a lot of what we're talking about. It's going to break down, you know, like neurology, the body, the mind, how everything, you know, works and is connected. And it's going to be a little bit more sciencey, but there is so much beauty in that book. It is absolutely beautiful. And then Conversations with God is really going to blow open your spiritual container. And what I love about Conversations with God is it's very triggering. And that's why I love it so much, because it showed me many areas that I still personally wasn't free inside.
Mm, beautiful recommendations. Mm-hmm. Now, for the next guest that we have on here, and I'm not going to share any names because I don't want your question to shift, but what would you like me to ask them as we kick off their show?
Yes. So one of my favorite questions that I was asked when I was in Hawaii at the beginning of this year was, if you could have lunch with anyone in the world, dead or alive, who would it be? And what would be the first question you would ask them?
Oof. Incredible question. Mm-hmm. Mm. Thank you.
You are welcome.
Well, I appreciate you. And you guys, if you were listening to this, please go connect with Natalie. She posts beautiful content on social media, just shares what's on her mind and comes from such an authentic space every single time. So if you are ready to hear just some incredibly insightful riffs, and just please go find her on social media, listen to her podcast, Mind Body Freedom Podcast. And Natalie, if there's anything else you'd feel called to share before we wrap things up here, feel free.
You are the creator of your reality, and you can have freedom at any time you so choose to. And it all starts with you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mama.